Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Today indeed is the last Sunday of the Easter season. Next Sunday will be Pentecost. And so you'll see the vestments and various banners and whatnot change over to red. So today is the last Sunday of the Easter season. And that also means this last week something important happened in the church. We had Ascension Day, which happens 40 days after Easter. The topic for our sermon this morning, as I mentioned at the beginning of church, is the Word of God. How does the Word of God come to us? How does God speak? And today in our gospel reading, we have several instances, several promises, several ways that Jesus speaks concerning His Word. A few of the sentences, the things that Jesus says I'm going to focus on are when Jesus says, these things I speak in the world. He says, to the Father, He says, I have given them your word. And finally, Jesus ends by saying, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, verse 20 it isn't included in our reading today, but I'd also like for you to hear it, that Jesus concludes this section by saying, I not only pray for these, meaning the disciples who are hearing Jesus say all this, but he says, but I pray also for all of those who will believe through their word, through their preaching. So this subject, and as you heard from our hymns too, there's a big focus on the Word of God. Where does it come from? How do we know God is speaking to us? Well, the Word of God brings truth. The Holy Spirit works through this Word. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus' command to love one another. Not tolerate, not like, but to love one another. To even love our enemies. Liking someone, it means finding something in them that makes you happy. Love, Jesus said, first comes from Him. When we first believe and have faith in Jesus Christ crucified and risen for our justification, we don't just like one another, but in Christ, we indeed truly do love. Today, Jesus teaches us how that faith is given and sustained to us, sustained in us. Look at the many times in our gospel reading Jesus talks about or mentions the Word of God. He says, these things, the Word, I speak in the world. I have given them your Word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. Today's reading from John 17 is very important, because it helps aid us in knowing where we should focus our time and energy if we are at all concerned with remaining Christian. This last week, as I mentioned, was Ascension Day, where we celebrated the ascension of Christ when Jesus visibly ascended out of sight from the witnesses after Easter. This is a life-changing event, because it's a major development in the Christian faith, in our doctrine, in our teaching. Jesus goes from being raised from the dead, and just when the witnesses of the resurrection get used to seeing a guy raised from the dead, something changes again. 40 days after Easter, Jesus visibly leaves their presence. Did he leave them with nothing? Are they to survive on their own? Are they to accomplish some great and wonderful tasks? No, Jesus leaves the Word. And as Pentecost comes, he's going to send the Holy Spirit. In addition to that, Jesus doesn't actually leave them. But he's no longer visible. This is why today's reading is important. It shows that Jesus knew he would ascend 40 days after Easter. And in John 17, right as he's about to be crucified, he wants to teach his followers and us how he is present with us. How he indeed never does leave us. How faith is given and sustained by his word. So first, Jesus says the word of God is a gift. Father, I have given them your word. I don't know if you've ever taken a gift for granted. If you think about all the gifts and things you've been given, maybe there's something that stands out that you've taken for granted. Maybe an old watch that just always worked every day, that was a special gift, and you just wear it every day and you get used to it, and then one day you can't find it, and you say, wow, I really took that for granted. I think it's safe to say we've all realized this last year how we've taken gathering together as God's people for granted. We've taken the gift of physical presence with one another, both in God's house and among our families, friends, sporting events, picnics. I think that's one thing we've learned that we've taken for granted. Just to be able to sit and talk with each other without that virus coming up in conversation or interrupting our normal behaviors. We've taken for granted the freedom to move as we please. We've taken for granted family and friends, the gifts that God has given us in our lives. God has seen fit to allow these things to either be taken from us, or we've been convinced that this is the best course of action for this last year. My point is that we've all taken gifts for granted, and we should remember that God's word is a gift. Today, Jesus says, I give them your word. We should be warned to be on the lookout for taking the word of God for granted. Think about it. If you would have asked yourself 2 years ago, do you take the ability to come to church or to be with family for granted? What would you have said? Would you have said yes or maybe no? Well, I'm pretty sure none of us would have answered yes because we weren't even asking these questions 2 years ago. No one plans on taking things for granted. You don't realize it until it's too late. We hear Jesus' words today. I have given them your word. The word of God is a gift. And maybe you have taken this word for granted. After Jesus ascends into heaven, this gift of his word becomes all the more precious. Don't take it for granted. This also implies that Jesus says he gives us his word. This also implies that without receiving from Jesus, we don't have the word of God. We are not the fountain source of the word of God. The book of Hebrews says it like this. In many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Even in the Old Testament, God used means to speak to his people. The prophets were God's mouthpieces in the Old Testament, and God can certainly speak to us however he wants. But he generally always has a witness. The prophets spoke on behalf of God. And now where does God speak? Jesus says, I give them your word. Many think they can hear God speak to them. Ironically enough, it's always in their favor or something they want to happen. This last week, Speaker Pelosi was asked about being pro-abortion and if she should be allowed to take communion. She answered, I can use my own judgment. I think many politicians would have answered the same way. And we must also take heed lest we fall. We must be ready to allow our lives to be under the word of God. That this gift is there to examine our lives. To put the mirror of God's word before our lives. And to even take the judgment of those who've been called by God to be an authority over us. Our parents, our pastors. that we are to listen to them and to respect their authority, but only as far as they teach the word of God rightly. The author of Hebrews says in chapter 13, 17, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." It isn't just that politicians are in favor and actually reward abortion. That's only the beginning of the problem. The problem also is that they consider themselves the utmost authority, which I think is rooted in all of our hearts. God's word is given to help guide us and others to confess together, to repent, and to finally find our comfort and hope, not in our own judgments, but to know what God's judgment is. We want to hear from Jesus as our judge, because if you believe and trust in him, your judge is also your Savior. He knows exactly what sins he needs to forgive for you. Then your conscience can be clear. You can actually point to a witness outside of yourself, even the very Son of God who ascended to the right hand of God, as your judge and Savior. This is why you want to have God as your judge, not yourself. No one can declare themselves innocent. When Jesus is your judge, he not only knows your sins, but he calls you a brother, a sister, a child of God, a baptized sinner, one who has his very name on him. And as the scriptures even remind us, who hates his own body? We are the body of Christ. When Jesus is your judge, there are no surprises. He knows exactly what you need. Jesus continues, "These things I have spoken to them in the world." Our God is not a silent God. He isn't like statues or things that we can fashion with our hands that are silent and can't speak. And ultimately, this is why God forbids the building of idols. It's because they are silent. They do not speak. Your money, it can't say anything to you. It only requires you to defend it. I'm not stealing from the IRS. I deserve to keep my money. I'm not stealing from God by not giving offering. I'm using my offerings for good purposes. Or whatever false god you find yourself thinking about and focusing and putting all of your energy into, God does not desire you to have a silent idol, a silent quote-unquote God. It is we who need to be defended. It is we who need an advocate. We need a word spoken to us on our behalf, because it is in this world that we've committed our sins. It is in the court of God, where here in this life, that we have transgressed his laws and word, thought and deed, where we have indeed worshipped many false idols. We need a God who isn't silent, but a God who speaks. We need a God who doesn't rely on us to defend him, but a God who speaks to us with his authoritative word, a word of forgiveness, a word spoken in this world. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to them in the world." In addition, here in this world, we don't need to try and ascend to heaven or to some special transcendental experience to know what Christ says. "These things I have spoken to them in the world." God gives us his word here. It's not a mystery, although sometimes it seems much more appealing for a mysterious word, or to find God speaking to us in some special quiet place. Many times we're not happy with the plainness of God's word. It's not a mystery. Remember our reading from John 17 is before Jesus ascends to the right hand of God. Jesus' ascension is God putting his stamp of approval on all that Jesus has said. Jesus can ascend to the right hand of God because he has done all that God requires of us to know that his death on the cross, everything that Jesus said and preached to the disciples is true in heaven, but also here in this world. It's not only true, but Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished. It is done." We don't need to find some mysterious revelation from Jesus. His word is a gift, and that gift is given to us here in this world. It's not only that it's true and has been fulfilled, but Jesus has rescued us from sin and even death. He's taken away all doubts, and he has made us holy people by faith. That's how Jesus ends our reading today. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. So you can see why I'm focusing on the word of God as a gift, as given to us here in this world, as something we have as our authority, because it sanctifies us in truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to make holy or set apart. God's word sets you apart. It sets us apart from the world of unbelief. God's word is our sure foundation. All things that Jesus has said about his word, the truth, and his name gives us confidence that we carry this treasure with us. This joy accompanies with you every day of your life. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though you've taken this gift for granted, he doesn't then steal it away from you and say, "You ungrateful sinner." He forgives you. And he reminds you that his word of forgiveness makes you holy, sets you apart, sanctifies you. All of these things that Jesus mentions in our reading today, it's all the action of him on your behalf. Why would you doubt? Why would you have a spirit of fear? But we have the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Jesus is teaching us that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit accomplish our salvation. They keep us in the faith. There is no mystery to this. Or perhaps the mystery is, how can God consider doing all these things for us when we take it for granted? When we look for following false idols who are silent, who don't speak to us? Or we prefer not holiness, but we prefer the mundane regularness of the world. No, he doesn't take it from us, but gives it all the more to those who desire it. For us who don't see the joy that it is to be in this world serving and loving one another, for us who try to escape this world to find God in other ways, does God condemn us for these sins? Take heart, baptized Christians. God has forgiven you, and he seals his forgiveness with a witness. A witness in this world is the water and the blood that came out of his side on the cross, the water in baptism and his blood shed and given to you in the sacrament. His witnesses that speak. He is not a silent God. Hear the many promises in this text, in John 17, that Jesus' ascension confirms. These things I speak in the world. God's mercy and forgiveness, it is not hidden. I have given them your word. Jesus gives us his gifts and his mercy, and he never stops. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth.
He will never lie to you. You can't always trust him. He's bet his life on it. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.